Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you come on board, joining in the dialogue and the discussion as we face the issues each and every day. Lest I forget it, let me at the very top of the hour give you this telephone number that you can dial in, 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can interview, entertain your questions, your comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking about today a very ominous-sounding subject, and it is ominous, apocalypse soon. I'm looking at an article where the Republicans see Biden's policies to expect a major apocalypse. An unscientific poll that reaches out to the Republicans revealed 94.8% of respondents say that they can see a major economic and political apocalypse coming because of Joe Biden's policies. The poll's question, only question, do you believe we are about to experience a major economic political apocalypse? Nearly 95% said it's coming soon. And may I add to that, not just the major economic and political, but also spiritual apocalypse. I believe that would be a pretty good observation of where we are in our nation today and what is taking place. We're going to be talking about that. That's being brought on by the racial divisiveness that is taking place, not just in America, but on a global basis, causing major upheaval and calamity and deaths around the world as a result of that new. It's not new. It's been around for quite some time, but it's just now coming to the head and being revealed as to what it really is. It's an approach to destroy the globe. It is a global reset, if you will. We find that taking place today. It is called the critical race theory. That's one of the underpinning subjects that will support what we're talking about in this broadcast today. So we invite your attention. We ask you to call in, give your dialogue and discussion. Let us hear from you as to where we are and what your thoughts are in relationship to the issue that we're speaking on today. Ladies and gentlemen, when we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Jesus said in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus makes the declaratory statement in two texts. In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And further in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We find many today in just about every circle of influence in society today trying to add to, take away, diminish, or in some way destroy the integrity of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I like to call it the truth book. Jesus says, "I am truth." He says, "God's word, thy word is truth." So it's the truth book. But ladies and gentlemen, it was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that precisely taking place in society today, where there's a total rejection of anything that is called truth, anyone that speaks the truth. There's the mindset somehow, some way, that we can just simply run roughshod over the truth, especially the truth of the Word of God. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made a profound statement that I think is worth repeating, even at the risk of redundancy today. Former Senator Jim DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. He says truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of our Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity, Jim DeMint wrote. He goes on to say, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in Christian churches. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer's statement, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made a statement that I think every Christian needs to hang on to. It says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And so I challenge you each and every day on this broadcast to do just as Jan Hus, that 15th century theologian and church reformer, said. Seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe as we see things on the fast track on a global basis here in America and around the globe, as we see things deteriorating, going into chaos, calamity, and catastrophe on a global basis, I believe that we need to understand that it's time we stand for truth and realize that we're coming rapidly to the day that standing for truth will mean standing even to the point of death, just simply for standing on the truth of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. Tools for Time staff can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. Perhaps you ask the question, where do I find that? How do I get to it? That's located right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a benchmark there, ladies and gentlemen. 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory. The U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flagpole and that flag. At the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, we're going to introduce our very special guest that we have with us. We'll be talking about some very serious, important issues dealing with what is taking place in Johannesburg, South Africa, and all of the eastern coast in Africa. And I believe that it is necessary for us to understand what's happening, especially from a Christian perspective and what it means to the Christian and to the Christian church and what we ought to do as Christians, even here in America, in recognizing that existential problem there as we're finding in America. There's a key element, ladies and gentlemen, that ties these issues together on a global basis. It is a matter that we're watching, ladies and gentlemen, our nation in America and nations around the world are being morally, ethically, politically, and racially, and spiritually divided. There is, ladies and gentlemen, a common denominator, whether it's called by the same name or not. It's called in America, and it's called in other nations, the critical race theory. The critical race theory. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the tool, that's the key tool of Marxism. Keep in mind, out of the five major points of Marxism, number one is to dethrone God. Karl Marx says that you could not overthrow or you could not control a religious people. So first thing in Marxism is to dethrone God. Secondly is to divide the people. Karl Marx did so on a social economic basis. We're doing the same thing today based on skin tonation with the critical race theory. The third thing is to simply destroy the nuclear family. Those three things are the fast-track elements found in the critical race theory today. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that I am concerned about as a nation for America, because that whatever affects our nation as we're seeing it today, it affects our Bill of Rights. And if it affects our Bill of Rights, it can eviscerate, destroy, undermine the religious liberties and the freedom of speech that we have in the United States of America today. And ladies and gentlemen, all of our schools, all of our colleges, all of our universities, business, and every branch of government today, including our U.S. military, they're teaching and they have a propensity to push what is called the critical race theory. I'm looking at an article here that says more than 5,000 woke, W-O-K-E, woke teachers signed a pledge to teach critical race theory regardless of the law. And it goes on to talk about how 20 states have already put into place laws that prevent the critical race theory being taught in schools. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a major movement that is behind, it's called the ZINN, Z-I-N-N, Educational Project, which is a communist network of educators in America. And as a result of that, they've pushed the pledge for them to sign that they're going to teach the critical race theory regardless of what the law says. In part, their pledge reads, "We, the undersigned educators, refuse to lie to our young people about U.S. history and current events, regardless of the law." So far, according to the ZINN Educational Project, the pledge has been signed by more than 5,000 educators in all 50 states. Many of the signers were more than happy to provide their reasons for signing. Needless to say, some of them were quite shocking. One, for example, said, "How can we teach future generations to disrupt systems if we aren't willing to speak the truth about the systems that we need to disrupt?" End quote. In other words, tearing down the warp and the woof that is the absolute fabric of our society today. We find that taking place not just in America, but on a global basis, where it is tearing down and destroying the fabric of a nation in order to build up or to set up and put in place a different administration or a different government. And generally speaking, it's putting into place socialist, Marxist, Maoist, Leninist, communist movements that we find on a global basis. Here's an article that says, like Marxism, critical race theory kills people. Just as Karl Marx interpreted all of human history as a fight between the oppressed and the oppressors, using a method that I call ideological abstractionism, so also the critical race theorists are doing the same. And it goes on to talk about the people who are eaten up with the abstract theories that they decide they must be imposed on everyone. But those who survived the brutal political power struggle, like Lenin, Stalin, Mao, Castro, Kim's in North Korea, they live in luxury while people starve and suffer all around them. Marxists like Patrice Cullors, the Black Lives Matter queen, may hope to remain on top, but should remember that the revolution devours all of its children, end quote. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the case that we see taking place not only nationally but internationally, where there is a seemingly a same thread, a same system. And it's as a result of what we find in the scripture, ladies and gentlemen, because in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So what we're faced with today, ladies and gentlemen, is not just man against man. It's not just something that is a human problem. It is an element of demonic wickedness that's taking place on a global basis, and it's undermining and tearing down and destroying homes and families. And keep in mind, in Matthew 12, the 12th chapter, verse 25 and 26, the Lord Jesus said, and may I paraphrase, Jesus said, "A house divided cannot stand, and a nation divided cannot stand." And we're watching the collapse of our homes and our families and our nation as a result of the divisiveness that is taking place, and it's a demonic divisiveness that's causing it and bringing it about. Ladies and gentlemen, we must remember that the Lord Jesus himself warns us of where we're going with the divided house and the divided nation. And it's evident today, ladies and gentlemen, that the Biden administration is determined to overthrow our American Constitutional Republic and bring in a total socialist Marxist regime. Today we're being told, ladies and gentlemen, that we're going to have this year. Listen, we're being told that this year we'll have over 2 million illegals come across the U.S. southern border. 2 million. And Biden has already started by executive orders instituting a fast track to make them U.S. citizens. His goal is to have enough illegals coming in to have enough votes in 2022 to continue the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, democratic regime that's now in control of the House and the Senate, or not the completely in the Senate, but the presidency. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm praying that God will reverse that. I'm praying that God will come in and do battle. In fact, in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 20, Nehemiah reminded his people, our God shall fight for us. And I believe that's what God is going to do in the days that's before us. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing a ethical, political, spiritual, moral decline in America. But we're also seeing the same chaos and confusion and calamity in places like Venezuela and Cuba and in South Africa. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we need to, as never before, as Christians in America and around the globe, we need to look up, lift up our heads, because our redemption draweth nigh, according to the scripture in Luke's gospel, chapter 21, verse 28. Look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. It was Dr. Adrian Rogers many years ago that said, ladies and gentlemen, it's dark, but it's gloriously dark, because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. And I believe that is the hope that we have today as we talk about the issues that are affecting not only America, but other nations. In particular, we'll be talking about South Africa today, ladies and gentlemen. It is as though Satan knows that his days are limited, and as a result of that, he's on the fast track trying to tear down and destroy Christian homes, Christian families, and nations that will point others to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, the media is not reporting some of the things that's taken place in this chaos and confusion that's happening today in South Africa. The media is not saying anything about the bloodshed and the loss of homes and families, the burning of buildings and of businesses and churches. The media is simply not covering it. You'd have to ask the question, why? Because it is too great of a mirrored event of that which we see taking place in our own nation today. Homes being burned, families are fleeing in fear of their lives in South Africa today. Churches and Christians are persecuted, even killed. And so, ladies and gentlemen, have someone with us today that I'm going to introduce to us. We're going to talk about these events in South Africa, and we're going to talk about what we need to do as Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have with us today, Dr. Ricardo Watson. Dr. Watson's home country is South Africa. Dr. Watson now is an American citizen. He has he and his family in northern part of Virginia. He founded a church there. God's prospered and grown the church, and I'm so thankful for it. Dr. Watson, I'm delighted to have you with us today.
God bless you, Dr. Youngblood. Thank you for the opportunity. It's a great joy to be with you and to just to hear the wisdom that God has planted in you to help us in a time like this. So thank you.
Well, it's always my delight. And by the way, Dr. Watson, I must tell our listeners that, and I don't say this to placate you because you're with us today, but a dear friend, a brother in Christ, one that I love and am thankful for and seeing what God is doing in and through you and your ministry and your church. Before we get into the nuts and bolts, as I would call it, of what's happening in South Africa, and from your perspective, what's happening and what needs to be done, let me get you to just take a moment and share what God is doing in your ministry, how he's blessing it, how he's using you, etc. I've seen some of your online videos with the beautiful campus that God's given you. Speak to that for just a moment and let our listeners know what God is doing in your life.
Well, firstly, I want to thank God because it's been the faithfulness of God upon our life that we've seen so much of his blessings. You know, I left Jacksonville, Florida, and when I came to your office, you prayed over me and released me to come to Virginia, and we started off here in a basement, and then we moved to a an office kind of complex in Sterling, Virginia. We labored preaching the gospel, expository preaching, building the character of Christ into people by the word of God, and you know, focusing a lot on doctrine, the doctrine of the scriptures. And through that, you know, God just began to bless the work of our hands, Dr. Youngblood. We followed the teaching of, you know, not being dependent on any other systems, especially the systems of government and all of that. and a lot of prayer went into it. We believed the word of God, and God put into our hands a beautiful property here in Culpeper, Virginia, which, by the way, was this property was surveyed by George Washington, the father of the United States of America. He was actually working here as a young man in Culpeper. And so God just put into our hands by, you know, miraculous means. We've been faithful in our tithing. We've been faithful in our giving and faithful in our praying. And today we're seeing leaders come twice a year and gather with us. We're still busy getting our sanctuary ready. I literally transformed an old horse farm now into an online thriving ministry, and soon to be, once we get the permits done and the building finished, the horse stable is now being converted into a 888-seat sanctuary where we can worship God from this part of the country. So we give God thanks and praise for his faithfulness.
Amen. Yes, I've watched some of those videos that you have online with your driving through the beautiful terrain of the landscape and the trees and the buildings that God's given you. And I rejoice with you in that, in what God is doing. And it's my prayer that he'll continue to impact lives for eternity through the word proclaimed from your work and your ministry there. I'm thankful for that. Dr. Watson, I understand that you've had some extended family members that you're concerned about there in South Africa. Speak to that, and then we'll get into the, how would you say, the issues of what is happening. But I'm vitally concerned for your family, your extended family. And because of what is happening, let's not go into details of that right now, but just speak to the issue of your family members and what you're doing to bring them to safety.
Well, my family are pastors. I have a church in South Africa that I pioneered coming out of Bible school initially in the year 2002, December. I started a work in my parents' home and began to teach the scriptures and pray with families. And that grew to become a church that God blessed. In the year 2011, December, I migrated to the United States of America. God told me to come to the United States and to begin studying at the Conservative Theological University. And so when that process took place, I pastored the church online with my brother. God raised him up at that time. My brother's a businessman. My family are business people. My father makes shoes. We have a shoe factory in South Africa and shoe shops and all of that. You know, I have a hardworking parents who served in their local church. We went to one local church our entire life before I pioneered my own church. My parents were in pastoral ministry, pastoral care. And my brother took over the church, Dr. Youngblood, and we have a congregation, somewhere around 300 now, strong families, a budding congregation. Right now, as we speak, we're in the middle of a building project. My brother bought a farm, and on one side of the farm, we put up a brand new church building. And the phase we are at right now is to put carpets on the floor and literally paint the walls, put the chairs in, and we are about to launch it. So my family is, they're pastors. You know, we were raised in church. I was 3 years old. I'm 46 years old now. From 3 years old, my parents raised us in the Lord, and they had to flee for their life on Thursday because a lot of these violent mob people, over 2 million were released in the last few days, began to pursue them, and that night they were coming to the farms to murder them and literally burn the food supply. Anything that produced food, farms, we had producing plants that produce chickens. Everything was burnt, every single thing. Pietermaritzburg, South Africa, was the historical city of South Africa. It was a beautiful city, Cape Dutch influence. It was amazing. When you came to Pietermaritzburg, it was like you lived in Europe. The Queen of England came to Pietermaritzburg. Mahatma Gandhi started his entire passive resistance movement in Pietermaritzburg. It's a very historical city. Everything's burnt down. They burnt down everything. It's a ghost town. My father and mother and my granny is very old. And my brother with his wife and three children literally fled to the airport. We were able to get them out of the Durban airport, King Shaka airport, into OR Tambo in Johannesburg. They stayed there for 3 nights in the OR Tambo airport. They shut down the Durban airport for 3 days. Nobody could leave the Durban region. And so yesterday we were able to get my family out of Johannesburg, OR Tambo, into the Maldives, which is an island holiday vacation spot. And the reason why they had to go there is because South Africa is considered a hotspot because of the COVID-19 virus, and the U.S. has closed its doors to South Africans. If they've been in South Africa for 14 days, they cannot come here. So now my family is in the Maldives. They're going to spend 2 weeks there until they go through their quarantine period and then fly into the United States. And we're trying to get them here and just, you know, refresh them and restore them. Dr. Youngblood, my parents have worked hard their entire life. My brother, as I said, we purchased a farm. We put up a brand new church building. We've given our whole life to the ministry. And my family have literally left everything they have worked for, and they had to flee for their life. And now in the next 2 weeks, I'll see them by the grace of God. They're coming to the U.S., and then we're just going to sit and regroup of how we can help the church that's still in South Africa. There's nothing we can do in South Africa because the church is shut down. The communist government that is ruling over South Africa right now, the ANC, has shut down church. You cannot have church. So there's no way for the church to meet. And I'll just share something so you have an understanding. Last year, when COVID struck, the president of South Africa sent out 70,000 South African National Defense Force members to intimidate, you know, brutal behavior, assault people in the church, drag them out of prayer meetings, throw them into the streets, and shut down the churches. When all of this violence broke out last week in Pietermaritzburg, KwaZulu-Natal, and in Johannesburg, Gauteng, when this violence broke out, the president only released 2,000 members of the National Defense Force, and that was just to guard public buildings and did nothing to protect the people. A pastor is being buried as we speak. A young boy was killed protecting his family from one of the communities. The pastor went to protect the people, and he was shot dead. Over 200 people have been killed. A race war has broken out now, and literally, if it continues at this level, there's going to be a genocide in South Africa. That's where we stand, Dr. Youngblood.
Well, Dr. Watson, I want you to know that we're in prayer for your family and for all of the extended family, that they will be safe twofold, safe from the COVID and safe in their fleeing from the enemy. They're in Johannesburg, and that they will make it safely to America. And you touched on a moment ago, and just to digress for a moment, you touched on just a moment ago your background with theological training at Conservative Theological University. Just a little brief, if you please, snippet. What do you think, would you recommend CTU for others, and why would you recommend that? We've got about a minute before the top of the hour news. We'll touch on that, and we'll come right back after the news.
Yeah, well, one of the reasons why I thank God for being in CTU was because I studied constitutional liberties, and we were able to understand the framing of the United States of America and the deep spiritual theological roots in the putting together of the Constitution, the founding fathers, how they honored God in this country, and basically giving America a foundation for the freedom and the liberty that they enjoy that comes through Judeo-Christian values. And the Conservative Theological University, the lecturers, all the lecturers taught us how to interpret the scripture in its literal, historical, and grammatical, contextual value. And not just all the crazy stuff we're seeing all over in other churches that are embracing socialism and everything else. CTU basically prepared me to rescue my family and to lead both the church in South Africa and here in the United States into a place where they have a sound understanding and knowledge of biblical truth and how to navigate these rough waters that we are seeing politically right now.
Amen. Well, Dr. Watson, hold on for just a moment right after the top of our news. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.